You know who it is. Welcome to another episode, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. Follow me on at Conspiracy or JAC on Twitter while it's still there. Follow me on Gab at Conspiracy or JAC. That should will always be there. If it's running, find me there. If you want to support the show, please www.anchor.fm/JackAllen1. I also have a Patreon, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. And I also want to give out shout out to reviews. So I had a guy, El Taco, 5 stars. I'm really enjoying this podcast. Keep up the good work. El Taco, thank you. I think his thing might be need for moderately fast speed. That's a funny name. And then Worth a Listen by Richoro. I'm saying that in Spanish because it said taco. Rich or Relaxo. Nice. So thank you so much, you two, for your comments. Anybody, please help me get the show out. If you give it a rank and a comment on Apple or whatever, I'll give you a shout out on the show. Put your Twitter handle and maybe you'll get some more followers. You know, not that this show has a huge reach, but has some listeners, right? But a lot of stuff's been happening since we last like talked, as always, I guess, right? That's the news. Stuff's always happening. But we just, I don't even know where to begin. At this point where I'm listening right now, Trump has not pardoned Julian Assange. And I already tweeted it. It probably got some people angry. But if he does not pardon Julian Assange, this whole movement was, well, parts of this movement were a complete fabrication and a total sham. And I never should have gone against my best interest and jumped on board. Right? And you, I don't even need to say anything. I had one person say, it's not part of the plan to pardon Julian Assange. What do you mean, dude? Julian Assange is the guy who broke the news on Pizza Fence, or whatever you want to call it. He's the guy who got those Hillary Clinton emails, the WikiLeaks emails, the John Podesta stuff that stemmed all of this stuff from 2016 is because of Julian Assange and Seth Rich. And you don't think that pardoning him is a part of the plan? What the hell does that mean, dude? Right? Am I going crazy here? When someone says that's not a part of the plan, you literally sound like you're out of your freaking mind. If you're in the truther movement, if you believe that the government is doing things against the people's best wishes and against our better interest, and then Julian Assange, someone who brings the truth after we say that MSM lies constantly, and you say it's not part of the plan to get him out of prison where he's been the past 4 years, has probably been beaten. I mean, he was in prison 4 years. I know he was in an embassy. But the man has been under arrest for the past 4 years and is losing his mind. It's not a part of the plan. Okay, yeah, that makes zero freaking sense, dude. Zero sense. So, sorry, that's just like, guys, it's not happening, right? It's not what's going to happen. As much as we all wanted to believe it, we wanted to believe that he was this guy, he was going to drain the swamp, he was going to lock her up. All those things were awesome things. What happened? What did he do? He did help them. Everyone hates them, mainstream media, even people on the left. Okay, that is a positive, absolutely. Did he wake more people up? I said that before. I think he did. I think he woke more people up. But what kind of people did we wake up? Right? All I see in the movement are a lot of people that will just follow whatever leader is talking. And to be in the truth movement, that's like the last thing we want. We want you questioning everything. Right? I don't know. So I know it's like a very difficult time. I don't know when I'm going to publish this episode, and I don't know, you know, what people's feelings are. Like, I used to be so caught up in the Trump movement, like, if anyone criticized him, I got upset, like, legitimately upset. I couldn't laugh about the things that he did that were stupid, and I still get a little upset. Like, my boss today was, like, talking about, you know, injecting bleach, and I like, corrected, like, you know, well, he didn't really say that, but I understand, you know. I'm still defending him, you know, this was the most amazing. It's because we're just, they beat down on our side so much, we find someone that's taking a lot of the abuse and we defend it. And it's amazing we did that. They tricked us into that. Because he doesn't pardon Julian Assange. Dude, that's the most basic stuff, thing he could do. That this man risked it all, put the truth out, and you can't pardon him, but you can pardon Kushner's dad. Okay, yeah. Kushner's dad, what a great man he is, I'm sure. He's only cared about the people, right? I don't know, dude. Just last thing before I get into the episode. It's going to be a great episode. I'm going to talk about the Rosicrucian beliefs and all this stuff like that. But I'm working on a huge episode, which I'll have sometime next week. Yeah, geez, I hope it's not this week already that I said I was going to do it. But it's on the Skull and Bones and the Hegelian system here that we all learned in the 1830s from Prussia, how the state is what we want. Like, you want, the state is your God. There is no God. The state is the God. The politicians are your angels, and you are just a cog in this machine, and you do whatever your state needs you to do. And what they do is they realize that America was just founded on sovereignty only, you know, 70 years prior to that. That was going to be a hard thing to break. So they started shipping in these education systems, and they controlled it. They controlled the American History Association, Economic Association, and they formed and warped the information to try and push us into one side or the other. So they would fund both the left and the right. And when I give the examples, they just how Rockefellers funded the Bolshevik Revolution, communists, and Trotsky, you know, Bush, Harriman, Brown, they funded Hitler. And who do we, and then they build up Russia again, the Soviet Union, Harriman does, illegally. He's not allowed to, you know, trade with the enemies. And then we have to build up our defense because they're building up, being built up by our Wall Street bankers. Then the Soviet Union collapses. Well, who happens up next? Rockefeller puts banks in China. Who gets all of our trade secrets through illegal means? China. And who's given to them? Wall Street. And so China gets built up. Now we got to defend against them. You see, we are just being played like a joke, guys. And that's why, like, I am angry today because I cannot handle any more of this trust the plan. There is no plan. They're going to come for us, dude. Like, our world is for our children is not going to be the same. The only way to fight back is to disengage, go grow crops, grow your own food, disengage from the system as much as you can. Learn, recognize, say, oh, that's what that is. And disengage, dude. Because they're playing us against each other. They want us all to hate each other. They want us to fight via black versus white, poor versus rich, all those things. They just want us to kill each other. Because when we're fighting, there's, you know, Republican versus Democrat. It's much easier to instill tyranny when we can't even tell whose side's on whose side, right? And, yeah, like, is the left unbearable? Oh, my God, yeah, dude, I can't stand it. You know, we just picked, what's her name, from PA, my great state of Pennsylvania, to the health thing, Dr. Rachel Levine. And I said it again, I don't care what you do. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, you can wear a bucket on your head for all I care. I don't give a shit at all. But when we're going to pretend that that is the epitome of solid mental and physical health, emotional health, and they're going to be telling other people how to live, I find that a little hypocritical, right? But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, there is no plan. Disengage, find God, find your family. I've been praying praying so much more. I try to pray before I go to bed, when I wake up, before we eat, and I ask for help. I ask for strength. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for love, protection, because that's the one thing I can do is I can feel God. And but I will not allow my energy go to the politicians. energy goes where attention flows. And the more you focus on these crooked, lying, slime ball politicians, the more energy they get and they thrive off of it. And we need, as a truther community, to help wake people up to stop engaging in it. Because if enough of us stop engaging in it, then it's over. Then their tyranny will end. You know, never, you know, attention is much more powerful than, you know, the so-called armed, you know what, I don't want to get knocked off of streaming or whatever. So, but yeah, grow food, buy silver and gold, buy Bitcoin, pray to God, find God. And that's how we can make a real change in this country. Think, if 10% of us did that, just disengaged, would be an amazing, huge force. All right, so today's episode is Catholicism, Rosicrucianism, how it relates to the Bible. Really cool episode. So it's by this guy, Max Heidel, who is a Rosicrucian. And he wrote this book about what their beliefs were. And I am going to forewarn you, when I'm talking, some things may be like, what the hell is he saying? And that is how he wrote the book. Absolutely. He wrote the book like he was on mushrooms, then smoked a blunt, and then wanted to tell you what his beliefs were. So it is loopy doopy, right? Loopy doopy. But we'll do my best here. So, okay. So the Rosicrucian belief system. Now, where it got started, that is a tougher question. And he doesn't speculate, really. I'll speculate a little bit. The Illuminati, right? 1776, Weishaupt, Adam Weishaupt. They eventually get outlawed because they get found out. Someone like left their pamphlets somewhere. And like 10 years later, they're done. So they're outlawed in Bavaria. And they go underground. And I think the Rosicrucians, you know, they're probably all these similar beliefs, like Freemasons and Rosicrucianism and Knights Templar. I think it all stems, it's some secret beliefs. And whether they're all the exact same, I can't say if that's true or not, but I think they're probably pretty similar. I think there's some things that probably coincide with all of them. They probably all have a little different take on things, but for the most part, and I think that these groups, that's how they bring people together. Like, oh, you and I know this secret knowledge. We're friends and we're going to work together to try and do what our leader of this group says and tells us to do, right? And I think maybe some are even more nefarious than that. Like they're talking to devils or demons and things like that. But I think that that's what these, it's kind of like a demonic worship and heretical worship. Okay. So the Rosicrucians, they believe in the Bible, but it's a little bit differently than like how we believe the Bible. And of course, they believe that they like are on the side of good, whether like the Gnostic God good or Lucifer is good. They believe that they're saving the people, right? So saving the dumb, idiotic, stupid cattle that we are. But so regardless, back in the day, Saturn time, this was before there was humans, all this stuff like that. This was called the Saturn period. It was referred to as like the golden age. We were all forever living, invincible, living forever, immortal. We were angel-like gods, okay? And we were not male, we were not female, we were a little bit of both, kind of like the Baphomet painting, you know? He's part animal, he's got some girl parts, he's got some lady parts. Which leads me down a whole nother rabbit hole of why this is pushed so hard in this current day and age. They're confusing kids like no other. I mean, I'm worried about for our children what they will see on TV because, like I said, everyone has the right to be happy and do whatever they want, but you don't have the right to try and warp and brainwash my child's minds into thinking that that is what they should do, right? So now if you feel at all lost and you don't have God in your life, that's this group you run to. They accept you. They'll always take you in. They'll let you be a victim and say, it's okay. It's the mean person's fault why you hate yourself. Not because you're overweight and because you didn't work hard. It's because they're bigots and they don't like you. That's what they do. You know, so that's a whole nother rabbit hole, but they believe in the Saturn period. We were angels, you know, immortal, male and female. Okay, so then at one point, though, Jehovah, he decides to create Adam and make two separate sexes. He gives the humankind a brain so they can learn and organs. You know, now we have our physical bodies. And there is the serpent with the Lucifer spirit. And it's the serpent goes to, and you know this story, he goes to Eve. He says, you know, God's, Jehovah's keeping this from you. If you just eat this apple, you'll become like him. You'll become like the gods. But really what he was saying, according to Rosicrucian and Max Heidel, is that the serpent tricked Eve into having sex with him. And she had sex with him. She gets pregnant. She goes and tells Adam, you know, whoa, I just had sex. We should do it too. And so they do it too. So she has two children. She has, I don't think this happens back to back. Obviously, that wouldn't make much sense. But I don't know. Did you know cats, they can have a litter and it could be of multiple fathers. Like, you know, that one's mine. It could be from all of them. But anyway. So she had sex with the Lucifer spirit, Samael. And this makes Cain. And Cain is aggressive. Progressive, he's got great initiative, he's impatient of restraint or authority, whether human or divine. He has no faith, he believes in work, dauntless courage, and creator. He's a creator. Yes, that is Cain. You know, we'll get to what Cain, everyone knows what Cain does, but that's Cain's personality traits if you look up in the horoscope. And then she has Abel, who is felt no urge or unrest, perfectly content to tend the flocks, docile, listen to God, live by faith, not by work. So Cain, he felt angry at Jehovah. Again, this is all according to Max Heidel and Rosicrucianism. He felt angry at Jehovah, and for some, probably because, you know, his dad was a devil and a demon and was not chilling on earth like Adam. You know, the kids without fathers, you got to watch out for them. It's a joke, but not really. But anyway, so if you're a father, be present in your kid's life, or they'll be like Cain. But Cain got angry at Jehovah. He slayed Abel. And but before he slayed Abel, or while he slayed Abel, Eve was luckily pregnant with Seth. And he had some of the same characteristics as Abel. So sons of Cain, where they're often, now again, this is to this belief that there are two types of bloodlines, right? Sons of Cain are captain of industry. They have temporal power and wisdom. Hence, businessman CEO, they want to turn out the masters. They are the master race, the bosses of the bosses. I also found this interesting. They are also, sons of Cain are also creators of arts and crafts. Now, where do we see more demonic symbolism than anywhere else? Music industry, right? And art, so-called art. Just found that interesting that the sons of Cain are the CEOs, which we can, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, they're absolutely, if there was an evil bloodline, they're a part of it, right? Rothschild, Rockefeller, they're a part of it if there's an evil bloodline. But also musics and arts and things like that. So Jehovah, Seth, you know, has his race. He has Solomon. And Jehovah thought, you know what? We need to bring these two races, these two bloodlines back together. They are fighting too much. They hate each other. We got one killing them. What's next? So Jehovah has Solomon and Cain descended Hiram-Abiff to build the temple. Now Hiram, I don't know if many people heard that name before, but Hiram-Abiff, which is, this isn't really like anything spectacular of a coincidence, but Biff in, you know, who is in Trump Tower in, what's that called, Blast of the Past or Back to the Future, Biff, you know, Hiram-Abiff, just weird. But anyway, Hiram was the Grand Master. He built the first he built Solomon's Temple, and this was how they were going to like unite the sides, right? So the temple was, the plans were given to Solomon, but he couldn't build it, so he had to instruct Hiram what he wanted, and this supposedly built united the two sides. So they built this beautiful temple, Solomon's Temple. It was the pinnacle of human achievement at the time. There was, these great medals and beautiful things. I have never seen it, but I imagine something glorious in the desert kind of looking thing, right? Hopefully you can imagine that as well. And Hiram, now he's very proud. He's very proud of what he did. He's a master builder. He instructed all these people how to build it. But he wants to add something else that he's kind of jealous. Already the jealousy seeps in. He's jealous that these plans were instructed to Solomon. He's going to make something he called that's going to be even the more of the pinnacle of the temple, called the Molten Sea, which we will return to. So in walks this beautiful woman, Queen of Sheba. Now, Sheba is quite the hottie because Solomon and Hiram both love her. They see her and they do the awooga eyes, right? Awooga. And so these two bloodlines, they're about to be connected. Jehovah had them build this temple together and reunite the bloodlines. But then walks a woman, and now there is some intensity. So if she never walked in and they didn't consummate the marriage, the bloodlines would have eventually mixed well, according to the Rosicrucians. Like, they would have been bred out and we would get along and all those things like that. But unfortunately, it did not work out that way. So she walked into the temple of Solomon and said, "Who built this beautiful temple?" And Solomon, like a normal guy, was like, "Shit, I didn't build it." And he said, "Hiram, the Grand Master, Hiram Abiff, the Grand Master, built the temple." And now she's like, "Oh, shoot, he built the temple." And she's more attracted to Hiram. And Solomon, he knows, he's like nervous now. He's going to lose her. And she wanted to meet him. He said, "Oh, he's too busy." Some classic moves when like that. "He's too busy. He can't meet you right now." But eventually she keeps asking. He lets her meet Hiram Abiff. And she is blown away. And was it also interesting that I wrote this note because I'm getting out of the story now, but as above, so below, we hear that a lot. I hear that a lot listening to all these smart conspiracy people. And the temple, according to the Masons, is a metaphor for the universe. So the sun is Hiram, and the legend also has Hiram with a hammer and the sun. That's how he called his workers. This is why other gods have a fiery hammer like Thor, because Lucifer was the fire spirit and the sons of Cain are from the fire time. Dude, that's what this whole book was written like that. And I don't know what that really means. I think what I was trying to say was that Hiram Abiff was a master temple worker with a hammer. That is why other religions have gods with a fiery hammer. Okay. Yeah. That's basically what I think I meant. So, he also made a mention that different temples, like Freemasonic, Rosicrucianism, worship different aspects. So some of the mystery schools worship the feminine, and that's why there is water at the door. You would put it out on your forehead to wash out Lucifer, because he was like the fire energy, and to pray the feminine. While some temples require candidates to be blindfolded, and they are blind to the light, and Lucifer will open their eyes after they gain entry into the temple and acceptance. So I found that was interesting. So maybe that causes animosity, but it's interesting. Some temples worship a different aspect of this this biblical story and different demons and things like that. So that's why, so each step you become less and less blind. Each degree is more light. There are 9 degrees. So when they pass the 9th arch, he is able to see the whole scope of Rosicrucianism and Freemasonry. And this is because Hiram had workers who wanted to do more or different work, but they did not have the power within themselves and they could not have let more light in. So it's like all symbolism for this event. And this caused, these guys wanted to have power like Hiram did. They wanted to be the big baddie, making up temples in their sleep. And he wouldn't teach them because he said they did not have the power within themselves. They couldn't do it. And this caused the men to be very upset. And this is where I reconnect the Molten Sea. So I said the sons of Seth, Solomon, he has the plans to build the temple from God, and the sons of Cain were the builders. They can make it happen. There's a combination of both. Jehovah, he was the middleman. Just like how Abel would tend to his flock, Cain, who was semi-divine, he could make two blades of grass grow where one was before. And that's why, like, they were such powerful bloodline, right? They were semi-divine. And so Hiram wanted to add something to the temple that would be the best part. Just, like, continue with this semi-divine, like, I'm better than you type of thinking. So he came up with the molten sea. It was this bath of purification that priests must enter before service to the Lord. And this work, he knew, would make him above every human. He would be like the Elohim, or, you know, he would reclaim his angelic, almost birthright, you know, of the angels, live forever. So he got metals from all over the world. And like an alchemist, right? We're going to get back to that. He was going to make something that was to resemble a sea of glass. And whoever would go in it, you would find perpetual youth and bathe in it. Now, this is very interesting that Hiram's trying to build this molten sea of perpetual youth with metals, right? So every science, if you've listened to any of my episodes in the past 2 months, I've talked about how every famous person, Isaac Newton, were all alchemists. They were trying to make lead to gold. But what if that's just like the cover of what they were trying to do? What if alchemy were trying to come up with like a philosopher's stone, the sorcerer's stone, like in Harry Potter, to live forever? And I know there was people that did that. But Hiram Abiff, even in this story, according to the Rosicrucians, that's what he was doing. He was making a sea that would clean your soul, that you would be, and you'd be immortal. Just something pretty wild, right? And he got metals from all over the world, like combining metals would make this substance. Just something to think about. But so he thought this substance would give superhuman capabilities and you would be able to communicate with the angels. So he gets it all together. Solomon heard rumor of what Hiram was trying to do. And he said, oh, no, you are not stealing Queen of Sheba from me. So he booby trapped the molten sea. So the molten sea, you hear him, gets all these metals melted together, blah, blah, blah. And he's going to combine them all in this. This is what I'm imagining, like a big pool in front of him. So he pulls the levers to let all this hot molten metal come in and to meet this cleansing liquid. And what do you know? Solomon added the element water, the element of Jehovah. And the water came bursting in, caused a horrible reaction. And now we're just having a fiery ass explosion in this temple. Hiram, clearly upset, he hears his ancestor Cain talk to him in his head and says to go into the mess because Cain walked through the fire as well. And Hiram has to walk through this fire now too. So Hiram, he jumped, he went through the 9 layers of the earth. That's, you know, there's 9 layers, just like in the Freemasonic beliefs, 9 layers of the earth. And he went to the center, hell, where he met Cain. And Cain told him this prophecy, a bunch of crazy gibberish. I don't know. But the key part was that you shall not wake till the Lion of Judah raises you with the powerful grip of his paw. This day you received your baptism of fire, but he shall baptize you with water and spirit. He will be greater than Solomon and build a new temple where the nations may worship. And I'm not going to pretend I know what that means, but what I take from it is that somebody is going to be trying to wake Cain and Hiram by building a new temple that will be greater than Solomon's temple. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But, he gets snapped back. He's on the surface. He's greatly wounded. His conspirators went to kill him, you know, as he's writhing in pain. But Cain hid a hammer and disc upon him, which had plans about, had plans. And this makes no sense. Sorry about this part. He was eventually found by Lazarus. I don't know how that came in. I sorry. But it was in the shape of a cross and a disc. And this, you know, if you imagine a disc with a cross, it looks like a circle with a hand or a stem. It became a rose, and this is where you got the rosy cross. So Hiram went down, 9 layers of hell, met Cain. Cain snuck him a cross and a disc that had plans for the new building, for the new temple that he should build. And when he came back, it looked like a rose, and that's where you get the rosy cross. And this was where the order of the temple builders was instructed on how to build and how to make the white stone that gave immortality and to talk with the gods. And so this was the information that was on this rose cross, right? The disc and the cross. And that is some of the secret knowledge that the Freemasons and Rosicrucians believe that they have, is this information of how to talk to a stone that gave immortality and talk with the gods. And isn't this, I mean, again, I hope you listen to my episodes like in order, because I kind of like, whether it's synchronicity, I'm not going to pretend like I meant to, but the past like 4 episodes, all I have talked about is people that are famous, like religious, like Joseph Smith, John Dee, Edward Kelly, Isaac Newton, Crowley, John Parsons. All these people are talking into rocks, talking to angels and gods or demons. And yet, this is what the Rosicrucians believed, that Hiram Abiff came out of the hell with, was directions on how to make a white stone that would give you immortality and talk with the gods. What, like, is that a wild ass connection or what, right? Spiritual alchemy was one chapter. Oh God, I am going to do my very best. I don't even know what the heck this was about. Okay, here we go. This is another belief of theirs. Oxygen creates heat. We know that. According to them, the minerals of lower vibration and animals, plants, etc., they have a lower vibration, so more heat is required to liberate them from them or the spirit. They think cold-blooded animals are low on the evolution because they have no heat or life within themselves. So that makes sense, right? We understand that. Okay, rocks takes lots of fire to free the spirit because there's very little spirit. Okay. People of low evolution have a dull aura. Red, orange is next, then yellow. It's like the top. And the top is golden, like the most woke, not woke in PC woke, most highest vibration. And that's why some artists possibly have the golden aura painted around the saints and around Jesus Christ, which I did find, I thought that was like a valid point. Like every biblical painting, they all have like this circle around their aura around them that's gold. And I always wondered, like, who decided, like, why'd they pick that, right? Like, what? No, you know, angel, unless the angels, you know, had this aura that was almost witnessed, be able to be observed. So Lucifer finds expression in the iron of our blood. They say iron is a war metal, a Lucifer metal. Hence, that's why the greatest feat of alchemy is taking iron and turning it into gold. I don't know what that means. But the initiates must learn how to make this leap into a new body, and then they will have immortality. So once you can learn how to raise your spirit into using this philosopher's stone, and you can turn like, you know, back into a non-boy, non-girl, you'll be immortal. You'll be among the demons or the gods. And that's like the goal of the Freemasonic and Rosicrucian belief, is to be able to transcend this human body, right? Because they know if they die, they're going to hell. But this way they can beat this thing. And I think I'll write this note. That's why we're going to transhumanism, but I don't want to forget that. But anyway, okay, Philosopher's Stone. Alchemy is a metaphor in many ways, in some ways as well. I'm not even going to attempt that chapter. I'll put the title of the book. You guys can read it because it's freaking hard. Really difficult. But, okay, real quick. I'll do my best. In the Rosicrucian belief, angels are from the moon. Lucifer is from Mars, like hence the war's planet. Before we were in how we are now, we were hermaphrodites. We could root plants like a plant with a bud. Thus, the moon controls the sea, where the salt, too much salt in the blood, you became lunatics. And the moon and the mind, Lucifer spirits became associated with sulfur, which can make a man unconscious in your genitals. And mercury was an element that was elusive, but is represented in the spinal cord. But basically, they're saying like the alchemist trying to, yes, now I got it. The alchemist was a metaphor as well, like that if they play with the metals and they can make this philosopher's stone, they're also raising like their consciousness vibration. And this act opens your mind or your soul up to become like this, to communicate with the gods and become a living stone. And so that they are practicing alchemy, but it's also like an alchemy of your body and mind. I hope that makes sense. So that's what that was saying, that there is like secret knowledge they're teaching each other of alchemy and like body alchemy to change your composition to transcend this earth. Okay. Whew, tough. I know. Hang in there. But I think it's going to make a lot of sense at the end. So path of initiation. There is the transition of the adept Hiram into the grand... Like, you know, you start from the beginning until the realm of immortality. You adhere him, the Grand Master, into the Molten Sea, the nine levels. Then you find Cain. You get a new hammer and a new word for the use in the new age. So both Jesus and Hiram, they both went to the inner land. This is known as, and this knowledge about the inner area is hidden by the highest degrees of Rosicrucianism. So what they believe, you know, what information is found there is top secret, top secret. So low seeking people, when they die, they go right to immoral vices and their spirit rests there, like bars, red light district, drugs. But adepts, they're seeking the path of illumination. They float outward toward the first level of heaven. And some initiates that are very good are said to actually beat gravity during their life in physical form. I know this is like tough. I hope I'm still going to publish this episode, but it's very difficult to keep going. But you know what? Yeah. Okay. We're almost done here and I apologize for any, but I'm trying to, because it's hard to believe what they believe. Like, it's very important to know what these secret groups believe, because they are trying to use that in real life. I think they're trying to do like an alchemical spell on all of us with the movies and TVs. So I'm trying to figure out what that is and teach all of us so we can all learn. So I'm going to jump around here. Path of initiation. We talked about the spinal cord being mercury, goes to the pineal gland. They want you to be wise as serpents. In Egypt, the pharaohs, they doubled as a king and a priest, a dual office. Thus, this is why they would wear a double crown with a serpent on its head. It would protrude the forehead of the serpent. This was to show wisdom and to show like both bloodline of the God-fearing and the God-like. Like they were, you know, dual king and a priest. And in the Bible, it is said that Lucifer appeared as a serpent. And that's, you know, according to Masonic legend, Cain was born from this union with Eve, and Cain, the son of wisdom, and Eve, the widow. So initiates of this, to this day, they will have a serpent on their brow and known by fellows as their fellows as son of the widow and Lucifer spirit. Hiram, he wasn't able to combine the fire and water together. The initiates must learn this. They learn that the hammer and disc he was given make a rose, which symbolizes that knowledge. And The goal is to bring both lines together and create a new heaven and new earth. So that's what overall what they're trying to do is. So let me just give you a real quick Armageddon, the Great War, and the Coming Age. So there's a time in history, double sex humans live under a king priest, all party, all good stuff. Here, Mabiff, he's a master craftsman, fire, male, sons of Seth, a priestcraft, female ideal, Virgin Mary, Lady of the Sea, fire versus water. So according to the occult tradition, the earth was vast darkness like space. Then it grouped together, rain. Jesus, people. I don't, okay. I'm done with it. I can't read. I tried to do this for you. So basically, takeaway. There's two bloodlines, right? Cain and Abel. And the Cain bloodline has... Cain, we were supposed to connect. We never did. We tried to connect. God tried to help us connect over Solomon's temple. We just butt heads again. So still to this day, there's two bloodlines. And this bloodline is... And this is what leads to like the bloodlines of the Illuminati. Is there a secret race trying to hold on, interbreeding, all that stuff? And Cain's bloodline was godlike. It was had, you know, the serpent or had this the Satan spirit in it. It was godlike. And are they trying to maintain that? But I think what the goal is they're trying to bring the world. They believe it's their purpose, like Freemasons, Rosicrucian, the furthest down. They hide under the guise of like God-fearing people, but they're not. Their goal is to bring like apart this new world where both races are, maybe our race is enslaved or consumed, but that they're going to bring back with the next temple, bring back the Lucifer spirit and become immortal again. And I think that that's, you know, what the goal is. I mean, all of these things I've been doing my episodes about subconsciousness and stuff like that. They're putting a spell on us for 100% sure. And whether it's aliens, there's something they're trying to, whether it's falsely or, create themselves because it's taking too long. They're trying to bring about this end of times that was spoken about in their beliefs. So that's what they're trying to do. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's the episode. Two bloodlines, sons of Cain. That is why we have so much. There's this, like, they're trying to enslave us constantly. Two bloodlines trying to enslave us, blah, blah, blah. There's all these symbolism is from the Bible. Here, Mabiff. They're just trying to, like I said, create this new false temple and to live forever. So that's it. I know that wasn't the best episode. The book is Max Heidel. It's called Catholicism and Freemasonry. And boy, golly, it's only 100 pages, but damn, is it difficult to read. So I welcome anybody that wants to read it and get back to me on what they learned from it. I have my notes, but they're really like just a bunch of ooba booba. Unless, that's like the main thing, that there's two lines. We're competing. That's why we don't like each other. They're the master builders. That's why all this ancient buildings are from the Freemasons, are from the secret knowledge of Hiram Abiff, the temples, the pyramids, all these, that's what they built. And there's talk, like there's crazy buildings of things, you know, like look at the World's Fair in the 1900 in Chicago and stuff. I think this knowledge used to be much more prevalent and now it's, you know, it's changing. There's something happening, but they have this knowledge, Stonehenge, Easter Island, all this stuff. And that's the secret knowledge that Hiram Abiff passed on with a certain group of people, a certain race. And I think we're kind of like in a battle for humanity's soul, right? And they believe they're on the good side and we believe we're on the good side. And that's really what this belief's about. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know, this is out of Max's own book, who was a Rosicrucian. And, yeah, so that's the belief. So that's the episode. Sorry if I was a little rough on my rant earlier. If you still want to believe in you know who, he who should not be named, by all means, dude. Who am I to tell you otherwise? But be careful who you listen to. Try and read for yourself. Learn for yourself. Try and find the truth. That's all we want. And disengage and kick butt. Rock in anything you do. Be the best. Don't listen. Bring that good energy to you. Don't let other people take it from you. So, okay, that's it. I'm going to have Charlie on, one of my favorite people in the world, Charlie Robinson, on Thursday. And we're going to talk some great things. So get ready for that. And so hopefully this episode can hold you over. Keep reading. Keep learning. Keep fighting the fight. Thanks for listening, everybody. Peace.